Cape Talk. Car Talk.
A little later than normal, with apologies, our motoring journalist, Chira De Siena of cars.co.za with me on the line to answer your motoring queries. Chira, thanks for hanging in there the extra couple of minutes. Good to have you with us.
No problem at all. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, thanks. Good to have you back with us, Chira. We're going to start with a car review and a little bit of motoring news and then tackle some of your questions. A reminder that if you'd like to ask one right now, you can call us on 021-446-0567 or send a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. The review you want to start with, the BMW Z4. Tell us more, Chira.
Yeah, it's an all-new car, and I'm not sure if you've seen one running around Cape Town yet. There are a few on the roads already.
Okay.
Very striking-looking car. I don't know if striking is the positive or negative in that context, because it's quite a polarizing design, very bold from BMW. And, of course, you know, if you're spending this kind of money on a sort of roadster, you might want to be a bit shouty about it. You know, you might want to draw a bit of attention to yourself, and I think this car certainly does that. There's some new paint colors for it as well. Not a cheap exercise, but in my opinion, a very high quality product and a very sort of Cape Town car. You know, the roof goes down really quickly. If there's a good gap in the weather and you're in sort of, you know, pretty part of town, you know, drop the roof and you just have that sort of amplified motoring experience, which only a convertible can give you, you know.
Yeah.
And it's obviously not as nice as my vintage Mazda MX-5, you know, but it's tried,
not.
You know. there's a couple of models, a variant in the lineup, but only two engines, a 2-liter four-cylinder turbo petrol and a 3-liter straight six turbo petrol. The 2-liter is maybe underpowered. My colleagues have been sort of grumbling about it, but then again, motoring journalists just sort of seem to care about having too much power in the car most of the time. So it's fine for everyday driving. If you want something really hot, then go for the M40 version, which has probably got a bit too much power, actually. And pricing, you're looking at a starting price of 760, and it goes all the way up to about 1.2 million for the top spec, the real top spec first launch edition. So like I said, not a cheap exercise, but a really, really high quality product from BMW.
And certainly a car you will be noticed in, if that's important to you. Okay. On the other hand, let's talk about those of us buying in the secondhand market, Chiro, and talk about the importance of a full service history if you are buying a car or, for that matter, wanting to sell your car. Can you talk to us a little bit about why it's so important to keep good records and have a full service history?
Yeah, generally speaking, the full service history, or you might see FSH for short in the classified, adds value to the car. It's written proof, documented proof that the car has been properly looked after. Also, in this day and age of sort of warranties and service plans, you have to actually follow the service plans to maintain your warranty.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're buying privately, the private seller doesn't necessarily have to disclose to you that the warranty is void because they perhaps didn't keep up with the servicing or didn't do it at the right time.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is written proof that the warranty is in place. Obviously, these things can be checked by contacting a dealer and pulling a service report on the car and a warranty report on the car. So that's important. But generally, you know, the reason you want to stick to it is that when you come to sell the car, when you come to trade it in, or particularly when you come to sell it privately, that full service history is going to add a little bit of value. It's difficult to quantify exactly how much, maybe in percentage terms. I think that probably varies from car to car, and also on the age of the car. And the important thing is to remember that once you run out of service plan or warranty, it's important to still get that book stamped by whoever does service the car. So, you know, you don't need to just forget about it as soon as you're outside of the manufacturer's warranty or service plan.
Okay, big question. Would you ever buy a car that didn't have a full service history available, Chira?
It does depend, I suppose. If I'm buying an older car, then I suppose you're basically going on the condition of the car and you're looking at what parts have been replaced, what parts haven't been replaced. And I suppose that you potentially want to take the car for a third, you know, an outside opinion, an objective opinion, perhaps to a mechanic you trust or perhaps to an inspection center like Dekra, to get an opinion on the car. But if I was buying a newer car, say 5 years and younger, then I would opt out if it didn't have a full service history.
Okay. Sage advice. Thanks very much. Okay, this week's first listener question is one that came through on the email during the week, and it's an interesting one for drivers of diesel cars, asking if you're familiar with the AdBlue that is used in diesel cars in Europe. It's not only in Europe. I'm certainly aware of some cars using it here in South Africa, Chira.
Yes, particularly the German cars. The AdBlue technology was necessitated by increasingly stringent emissions regulations in Europe. And the reason not all of our diesels have it here is because we are still running on what's known as EU2, whereas Europe, I think, is on EU6.4, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And EU2 dates back to 1999. That's how lax our regulations are around emissions in this country. So AdBlue technology and similar tech, AdBlue is just a trade name for it that the German manufacturers have. It's necessitated by European law for all diesels, from what I understand, whereas it isn't here. But yes, you do find it in your car here. And it's a very clever technology. It's basically just a solution of ammonia and deionized water. And what it does is bond to the NOx particles, NOx particles in your exhaust emissions, mm-hmm. and essentially neutralizes them. And NOx particles are particularly nasty little things. They are what is essentially responsible for smog in cities. They get into your lungs. They don't really get out of your lungs once they're in there. They can actually reduce life expectancy if you breathe them in sort of doses that are damaging to human health. So they're nasty little things, and it's great that we do have tech which neutralizes it. And it's fairly easy to maintain tech. The car will tell you for Mercedes-Benz, for instance, how it works is when the car has less than 800 kilometers of range left on the AdBlue tank, it will start warning you, and you really need to follow the warning, because if you run out of AdBlue, the car won't start. So if the car is under warranty, you can take it to any Mercedes-Benz dealership, for instance, and they will top up the tank for you free of charge. However, the product is carried at some fuel stations, not all fuel stations. So it really is worth, when that 800K light, comes on, it's really worth taking notice of it and acting upon it. The other issue with AdBlue is that it freezes, which is quite interesting. Not really an issue we have in this country unless you live in a particularly cold area. But your car actually has systems to manage that, the freezing as well, and to thaw the liquid. And each AdBlue tank is a different size, so it's difficult to say how quickly your full tank of AdBlue will last in your particular car.
But certainly you take notice when that warning light comes on and get yourself. I mean, it sounds like the most cost-effective option is to get yourself to the dealer who will top it up for you for free. Chira, if you do go the route of buying it yourself, how much can you expect to pay?
Unfortunately, I don't have a figure for you on that, but I suspect, it probably won't be more than sort of 200 Rand, I would say, for a little bottle. And, maybe it's actually a better idea just to keep a little bottle in the boot, and then, if you happen to be on holiday or it's inconvenient for you to get to a dealership or you can't find it on a forecourt near you, then you've got backup.
Okay, sound advice, Chira. Thanks so much for giving us the update, and thanks to the listener who sent that interesting question through. If you have got a motoring question you'd like Chira to answer on next week's show, remember to send me an email to pepperh@capetalk.co.za or go and check out the cars.co.za website and YouTube channel for more of his work. Chira, thanks for your time, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.